First, let's get some more reaction to last night's Republican debate on the Fox Business Network. Here was one of the most heated exchanges when Rand Paul and Marco Rubio clashed over spending.
I know that Rand is a committed isolationist. I'm not. I believe the world is a stronger and a better place when the United States is the strongest military power in the world.
Marco, how is it conservative? How is it conservative to add a $1 trillion expenditure for the federal government that you're not paying for? How is it conservative? How is it conservative to add $1 trillion in military expenditures?
Whoa. Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent, is with us to talk more about this. Ron, that was one of the big moments. But what struck you most about the debate last night?
Let's say that it's the ideological divide that came out perhaps in the personalities of these two candidates in that tape you just played. You've got the, if you will, more strict orthodox, even libertarian point of view about government. There should be less of it. There should be less commitment for things that the government might do. Lower taxes by a lot and less spending for a lot. And that's represented, as we just heard, by Rand Paul and to some degree also by Ted Cruz. Now, on the other hand, you have what I would describe as more the Ronald Reagan you can have it all sort of approach, which is what we heard from Marco Rubio and to some degree from John Kasich last night. Yes, lower taxes, but we can spend more on the military because we have to be a preeminent power and don't cut anything else that's too painful.
Yeah, I was trying to see if I could tell the difference between the applause that the Republican crowd in that room was giving to people like Donald Trump when he talked about deporting all of the people who are in this country illegally, and then to John Kasich when he said, no, we shouldn't do that. There was a real divide between these candidates. Let's listen to Ted Cruz here. He came out strong, bashing illegal immigration, lawyers, and the media all in one. Here he is.
The politics of it would be very, very different if a bunch of lawyers or bankers were crossing the Rio Grande, or if a bunch of people with journalism degrees were coming over and driving down the wages in the press.
Now, we should say that journalism has had its share of trouble and changes over the last many years. But then we've got John Kasich on the other side blasting Donald Trump for saying that he wants to deport 11 million undocumented people in the country.
You know, the answer really is if they've been law abiding, they pay a penalty, they get to stay. We protect the wall. Anybody else comes over, they go back. But for the 11 million people, come on, folks. We all know you can't pick them up and ship them across back across the border. It's a silly argument.
It was almost like they were playing to two totally different parts of the party.
You know, Marco Rubio did not weigh in on this at all last night. Nobody directed a question at him, and he's not going to bring it up in the debate because he knows what he thinks, which is closer to John Kasich, is not the majority view in his party. And that those were the words he chose when he acknowledged this morning on NPR in a morning interview with Steve Inskeep.
Carly Fiorina, she didn't take up that much of the time, I must say, in the debate last night. But you were struck by her closing statement. Let's listen to what she said.
King Abdullah of Jordan, a man I've known for a very long time, has asked us for bombs and materiel. We have not provided it. The Egyptians are asking us to share intelligence. We are not. I will. The Kurds have asked us to arm them for 3 years. We're not. I would. The Egyptians.
How do you think she did last night, Ron?
Her pitch is pretty much the salesperson's perfect pitch. If you want somebody to represent your product or company in that sort of a situation, you want Carly Fiorina making your pitch. Now, is she as effective selling herself as a political figure? We don't see that in the polls. And between the debates where she's been pretty sharp, she seems to disappear.
I want to ask you about the questions finally, because it was just the absolute opposite of that CNBC debate where everybody said the moderators were being too tough. In this case, they were allowing them to these candidates to do pretty much whatever they wanted to do. This is from the undercard debate. This is the candidates were asked about which Democrats they would work best with. Here's Bobby Jindal.
Who in Congress do you most admire on the Democratic side? I need one name from each of you. Let's start with Governor Jindal.
Look, we can waste our time. And I think this is why people are so frustrated with the last debate, with these kinds of silly questions. We've only got a certain amount of time to talk about the economy. Let me use my time to say that I want to fire everybody in D.C. in both parties. I think they all.
And then each of the candidates went on to just talk about whatever they wanted in that answer. What do you think about the moderation?
In the debates last night, both of them, the moderators self-consciously and clearly under orders from others who were involved as well, the people who were running the debate at their news organizations, just backed off. They let the candidates talk over each other. They let the candidates talk well after the bell. They just weren't going to get into the mix. And at the end of the debate, they patted themselves on the back for that very behavior and said, we let it be about you, the candidates, not us, the media.
NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Ron, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.